Brother Cooper for that special there, for that offertory. Good evening, Town East. Well, one of you is awake anyways. Good evening, Town East. Well, we don't have to be shy. I'm the one that's nervous, okay? All right, I'm the one that's nervous. Y'all can just settle down. It'll be okay. All right. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1 here. And in a moment, we're going to look at one verse there, and that's going to be verse 17. Then we're going to flip on over to Galatians, so I'll give you a heads up. Now, did y'all catch that little fishing story there? The ribs were that big. Did you see that? That they were that big. That's just like an old fishing story there when we go down the coast. Pastor Riggs is probably catching fish, you know, that big, right? Amen. I would like to express my thanks to Pastor Riggs for allowing me to speak. It is an honor. It's always an honor to stand before you and behind this pulpit or any pulpit when we speak. And I pray that God is glorified through this message. Amen. This message is from God. It's not from me. It's just what he's laid upon my heart to speak to you here tonight. And I do pray for Pastor Riggs as he's traveling and the family there. But I'm so thankful to be here with you. How many of you have heard me speak before? A few of you there. Thanksgiving. That lady there, she's been following me around for like almost 30 years. I can't believe that. Actually, we celebrate 30 years on Monday. We're ditching church Sunday. Don't tell Pastor, okay? We're going to be in Bandera. We will be in church. We just won't be here. And we're going to go out horse. We own two horses, but we're going to Bandera to ride horses. I don't know if that makes any sense, but you know, before we get started, I like trivia. Does anybody else like trivia? But before we actually get to the meat of that trivia, we gotta lighten it up. Y'all are a little serious tonight, and I know we're in church, but you can smile and laugh in church, okay? So let's start out with just a little humor. Why don't eggs tell jokes? Why don't eggs tell jokes? They would crack each other up, of course. You guys are getting close. You're getting there. So what do you call a bear with no teeth? A gummy bear. Somebody got it. Hey, don't be Googling it. So we're in Texas. What do you get from a pampered cow? Spoiled milk. I know. Dad jokes. Hey, I was in the men's class a couple of weeks ago. I heard, don't be writing these jokes down. You can't be reusing. No, we don't recycle that way. Amen. Now, none of the students are here, but I got a little, you know, I got to get prepared for school. So why did the math book look sad? Because it had too many problems. Have you heard that one before? All right. Well, then I have a science question for you. What is the best smelling insect? A deodorant. All right, we're going to get a little bit more serious now. We are going to get serious. We are here for a message. I imagine as we sit here tonight at Town East Baptist Church, I imagine that we can all agree that there are 66 books in the Bible, correct? Not 67, not 55. There's how many? 66. And there's 39 in the New Testament, right? No, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. Are we on the same page? All right. No using Google back there. But who can tell me how many chapters are in the Bible? Who can tell me how many chapters are in the Bible? Anybody want to take a guess? 1,000-something. Anybody else? We're almost on the right page there. 1,000-something, but we got to get a little bit closer. Anybody? Any other guesses? 1,299. So we're in between 1,000-something-something and 1,299. The Word of God has 1,189 chapters. Now, does the Old Testament or the New Testament have the most? Now, look at your Bibles. Now, turn it to the New Testament and look how thick the Old Testament is and how thin the New Testament is, I would almost bet you that the Old Testament probably takes that medal right there and it has 929 of those chapters while the New Testament has 260. So, we did pretty good on that. You guys are about a D average right now. Maybe we can get up there. How many verses are in God's Word? Verses. Well, no, a bunch is not the right answer. How many? 10,000. Any other guesses? Come on. We can participate. Next time, I might have to have a note sheet, and then we'll have a pop quiz afterwards. 12,000. I got 10,000. I got 12,000. Any other guess over here? Come on. Don't be shy. One guess. How many? 20,000? We're getting much closer. The Holy Bible has 31,102 verses. The Old Testament has 23,145 of those verses, and the New Testament has 7,957 verses. Now, if y'all don't get this next question, we're going to have to start in Genesis and work our way through, okay? What is the shortest verse in the Bible? Well, I need the reference. John what? 11:35, Jesus wept. So what's the longest verse? Esther 8:9, how many? How many words? Now, there is a conflict there, so you can go home and count. I believe it's 90. Some say there's only 78, but I think they must have went to school in Texas or something. You know, 1, 5. Oh, anyways, yes, Esther 8:9. 90 words is where I believe that's at. So with that, how many words are in the Bible? Either can I. There are 783,137 words. I counted them personally, not. And breaking it down even further, now get this, folks. There are 3,116,480 letters in his great book. I didn't break that down. I might have to make that another question. That's a good thought. How about you? I'll give you an assignment. You know, I'm going to be the new school administrator. So before next Wednesday, can you count all the vowels for me and get that down? No Google. Did you know that there is no word of more than 6 syllables in the Bible? Next time I speak, I'll have more trivia for you. But tonight, I really didn't know where to go for tonight. This is my first time speaking here in a long time. And I'm following such a great preacher. I mean, how can I follow Dr. Coleman? Which stole my message Sunday morning. Because I was going to speak, I kid you not, you can ask some of the teenagers, I was going to bring a message about love. My title of my message was Love, Love, Love. And actually, there's a Southern gospel song, you can look it up, that's called Love, Love, Love. It's a great little song. But tonight, I want to talk to you about walking in faith and victory. Walking in faith and victory. You know, one of the most important factors to keep in mind as a born-again Christian is that our growth and maturity in Christ cannot go forward. It cannot go forward unless we understand that we are to be men and women of faith. In this message here tonight, I want to share with you an important axiom or accepted truth that will help all of us to grow and mature in faith. This is an axiom that will enable you to live in the realm of faith that God intends for you. And the principles I want to share with you is that faith comes in cans. Faith comes in cans. How many of you found Romans chapter 1, verse 17? Say amen. I notice that here y'all don't stand for scripture reading very often, at least, or not since I've been here. But I think it's great to stand when we read the Word of God for our text passage. So if you're physically able, and in respect to words God, let us stand. Verse 17 here, the Word of God, it declares, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now take a moment, go over to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, give me a hearty amen when you're there. I got one, maybe two. Galatians chapter 2, we're going to drop down to verse 20. This is a very familiar passage right here. In God's word, it states, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live," what's that say there? "By the faith," but it goes on, "of the Son of God." But it even goes on, which says, "who loved me, oh, and gloriously, and gave himself for me." Amen. Would you pray for us here this evening? Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you that this is not a long message. I am a Marine, 10 years, and something I learned in the Marine Corps is to stand up, speak up, shut up, and sit down. The problem is that doesn't always work for me, but I'm going to try very hard tonight to make that a reality. I do have three quick points. Listen to this illustration first. The following letter was found in a baking powder can, wired to the handle of an old pump that offered the only hope of drinking water on an exceptionally long and seldom used trail across Nevada's Amargosa Desert. The letter, it says, "This pump is all right as of June 1932. I put a new sucker washer into it, and it ought to last 5 years. But the washer dries out, and the pump has got to be primed." How many of us remember having to do that? "Under the white rock, I buried a bottle of water out of the sun and cork end up. There's enough water in it to prime the pump, but not if you drink some first. Pour about 1/4 and let her soak to wet the leather. Then pour in the rest medium fast and pump like crazy. You'll get water." That's right, get. G-I-T. "You'll get water. The well has never run dry. Have faith. When you get watered up, fill the bottle and put it back like you found it for the next feller. Signed, Desert Pete. P.S. Don't go drinking the water first. Prime the pump. Prime the pump with it, and you'll get all you can hold." And now, the three cans of faith. The three cans of faith. There are three areas of understanding, three cans of faith that I would like to share with you this evening. Folks, We must know how to drink from these cans. We must know how to drink from these cans before we can appropriate the kind of faith that God desires for us to have. And God desires for us to have faith. They are as follows. You can take your notes and leave right here if you wanted to. First of all, believe and understand that God can do anything and everything. Do you believe that, folks? Yes. Say amen. I believe it. Yes. Believe and understand that God can do anything and everything. Secondly, Jesus can and will freely give to you that which you need. By the way, I didn't say that which you want. I said that which you need. And third, oh, this is powerful right here. You can do all things through Christ. All things. So let us look at faith can, number one. God can do anything and everything. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 32, there verse 17, it says this here. It says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by the great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." There's nothing too hard for God, folks. Isn't that great? Now, some of you, this might be a new character, but Job. Job is a remarkable example of someone who has withstood the trials and hardships of life and faith. One who came forth with a faith that was more precious than gold. You know, Job chapter 42, they're reading verse 2. "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." But Moses was another person who believed in God's ability to do anything and everything. As a result, Moses was a tremendous person of faith and victory who was responsible for leading God's people out of the bondage and slavery of Egypt. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 24, it tells us this, "O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand, for what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might?" We need to bring it personal. And just as Job and Moses, we too, as we sit here tonight, we must believe and confess that God is able to do anything and everything. All those great heroes of faith, based their faith on what God was able to do. You know, folks, they knew that God could do anything. They knew that God could do everything. They also knew He could do it whenever He chose. My message is, oftentimes I like to pose questions, so I hope that's okay. I want you to pause a moment to think, and then I want you to answer this question to yourself. I don't need a verbal response. This is for you. Maybe write it in the margin of your Bible so you could be reminded. Because I want to ask you, do you have this kind of belief in your heart? Do you have this kind of belief in your heart? If not, I sure certainly hope that you'll start working towards that. You'll be praying for that. But if so, then begin to drink from this can of faith and allow the faith of God to incite you to move forward to God in new ways. know, we have the example of Jonathan and his armor bearer, right? And the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer taking on a garrison of the Philistines is a perfect example. It's a perfect example of what we can accomplish when we step in faith on what we know God can do. Jonathan drank from this can of faith and accomplished a great victory of Israel. Jonathan knew what God was capable of doing. Do you know what God is capable of doing? 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." Next, we'll look at faith can number two. Jesus can and will give you what you need. He can and will give you what you need. Hey, church. It's important for us to know that Jesus Christ is on our side. Oh, and I hope you look around into what's going on in this world, and I hope you cherish the fact that Jesus is on our side. We need him more now than ever. And he desires to give to us in a way that will produce great joy in our lives. But we also must believe that Jesus can give to us whatever we have need of. I'm trying to limit my rabbit trails, but I'm going to tell you, when I was young in my faith, it always amazed me that just sometimes out of nowhere, we would just receive this blessing of exactly what we needed, amen, when we needed it. Oh, generally, it was not ever something that was more. It was exactly what we needed when we needed. Jesus can give to us whatever we have need of. John chapter 16, verse 23, Jesus declares here, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Is the Bible inerrant? Is the Bible 100% correct, truth? Is it inerrant? Yes. Everybody agrees. Yes. So if we believe that the Bible is inerrant, that it is 100% correct because God has given us his word, then we got to believe this verse when Jesus tells us this. See, I like to say that God's word is truth from page one to page end. And I love God's word. We can look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, where it says here, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." But if that's not enough, how about the example of the blind men? You recall? Matthew chapter 9, we'll just look here, verses 28 and 29, and it says here, "And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord." See, they believed. So often we tend to doubt. It says, "They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you." As Jesus ministered to these two blind men here, their faith to receive was a result of the fact that they believed that Jesus was able to heal. We might have somebody here tonight that has an ailment or a health concern. I don't know your story, but I'm going to quickly relay about a young man named Paul there in Divine, Texas, member of Community Baptist Church. Paul went in with a heart condition. They told me that he would not make it through the surgery. We visited him in ICU. I was advised as his pastor to start calling his family, friends. He would not make it through the day. There was already a lot of family gathered there, and when I got there, and I kind of wondered why nobody was in the room praying with him. Me and another pastor at that time, he was kind of my associate pastor, we gathered the family, we went into this ICU, and we began praying. We prayed over him. I kid you not, you can verify this fact. By the end of that evening, he had color coming back into his skin. That nurse, the attending nurse, which was assigned to that room, could not leave that room, told me off to the side he had never seen anything like it. And today, Paul is back driving truck, working, and making a full living. He lives on his own. He's not in hospice. He's not in... Now, is God going to do that every time? Probably not. But he can heal. Amen. If it's his will and his desire, he can heal. I wish he would take away some of these aches and pains I have. You have to have faith. I want us to pause for yet another reflection as we continue on here and again, answer this question to yourself. What are your needs today? By the way, I'm going to caution you here real quick. As Christians, we tend to give God all our needs. I want. I need. God, I need this. I need my health. I need a job. I need finances. I need this. How about sometimes we say, thank you, God. I sit outside every day. You'll learn this about me. I love birds. I love them. I especially love cardinals. I got some western bluebirds that are there at the house. I love birds. I love sitting out watering my grass. And yes, I'm not supposed to be watering right now. I'll probably get a fine. And I'll blame it on my cows. They just drank too much. But it's so great to just water and listen to my wind chimes and listen to them sing and just say, thank you, God. You know, I know I look 29, but I'm in my 50s. I shattered my leg years back. I got two plates and many screws holding my left leg together. But I thank the Lord I can go out there and still take care of our cows and our horses, our billion chickens it seems we have. Folks, we have 6 cats, by the way, all indoors. Most of them rescued. One of them, 7 weeks old, climbed up my leg. How can you turn away a kitten that just climbs up your leg at 10 o'clock at night, right? You just can't do that. But on the other spectrum, I have a 115-pound Weimaraner. Someday you'll get to meet Dakota. What are your needs today? But when you ask for those needs, let me remind you again. Praise God. Thank Him. Thank Him for everything that you have. And it doesn't matter what kind of condition you are in, you can thank Him for something. Another reflection. You can respond to this one, I believe. Do you believe Jesus is able to meet those needs you have? Amen. Amen. So if so, reach out. Reach out and take a strong hold of this can of faith and begin to drink wholeheartedly. Jesus is always more than willing to minister to us. You'll find that if you were in your Bible every day. He is more than willing to minister to us each and every day. In whatever capacity that is needed at the time. And when you have an assurance of this, it causes you to drink. You know, when that hot summer day, I know y'all like that sweet tea, that Texas sweet tea. You could take that gallon and you just start guzzling it down. When you have that assurance, you can take that can of faith and you can just guzzle it down. She won't let me drink it out of the jug. I would. I got to go get a glass. You know. Now faith can number three, and we're going to land this airplane here pretty soon, I promise. Faith can number three, you can do all things through Christ. All things through Christ. See, now that we have an understanding that God can do anything and everything, and that Jesus desires to minister to us in faith by giving to us those things that we have need of, we must also understand that we can do whatever he has commissioned us to do. By the way, if you're here and saved tonight, you have received a gift. And it's not doing you any good not to use it. The Lord has commissioned you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, you know, it tells us, we all know this verse. I bet we could all say it together right now. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's amazing what you can do with his strength. There must be action to our faith. And that means that the faith that is in our heart should incite us to some kind of action that will produce the fruit of the can of faith that we have been drinking from. I can already tell this is a church that's very involved. I see that. We're relatively new, but I've known Town East a long time now. I've been in the area for 6 years and have come to various services in those 6 years. But we always have those that'll be saved, that'll just kind of, oh, I'm not going to get too involved. Well, if you're drinking from can number three, then there's something you can do. By the way, there's something that every one of us can do here tonight. See, I know we all have these really handy things called phones. Right? I know y'all love those text messages, whether it's messaging or messenger or whatever the app is. How about you text somebody tonight that you haven't talked to in a while and just say, hey, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. Why don't you do that for the Lord? You know what kind of joy that might bring him? You can do that, and it'd take you about 5 seconds. James chapter 2, verse 17 and 18 informs us of this. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Our works are not going to get us to heaven, are they? But once we receive Christ, aren't we directed to do something? Aren't we commanded to do something? Do we need to be reminded of Matthew chapter 28? Faith must have the can-do effect. Faith must have the can-do effect. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed. I know, that's a real large seed, right? Grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. We're going to close here. I think I'm pretty well on time. I mean, Pastor Riggs said I had till 9:30, so we're doing well. But as we prepare to close, what is it? What is it that you want to accomplish, not for yourself, not for the preacher or for the church, but for God? What is it that you want to accomplish for God? Because church, you can do it. What is it that you want to do for your family? Well, folks, you can do it. What problem or bondage are you trying to overcome? Well, friends, you can do it. Our faith can really blossom forth and bring the desired fruit when we have a strong assurance that God is able to perform on our behalf in all these areas. Faith can, number one, God can do anything and everything. Faith can, number two, Jesus can and will give you what you need. Faith can, number three, you can do all things through Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing me to speak here tonight to this group of individuals, for calming my nerves and bringing forth the words to my lips as I relayed this message. I thank you for the receptive ears and the open hearts that were here tonight. And I truly pray that something in this message that you provided me to speak, something touched someone here tonight, that someone found an application that they can apply within their own personal lives. Father, I just ask that you're with us as we continue on with this service. We do know that you advise us that when two or three gathered, that you are amongst us, and I pray for this upcoming prayer time. I pray a hedge of protection around our sweet pastor and his family. I pray for his safe return, for their health, for their readiness of this upcoming week. We lift up VBS to you. Oh, as it was spoken earlier, if just even one child is touched, one child comes forth to receive you, oh, that makes it worth it. Everything that has been done. There's no cost too great when a soul is saved. I pray for our safety as we head home. I pray that we return at the next appointed time. Most importantly, Father, I pray that if there's somebody here tonight, that has not received that precious gift of eternal life that you provide each and every one of us, that they'll come forth, they'll find or seek us out, and let us show them in your word how they can have the best gift that they could ever receive. We love you, Father. We're thankful for this glorious day. In Jesus' name we pray.